reader. I'm Cindy Burnett. Welcome to my award-winning podcast, Thoughts from a Page, which is a member of the Evergreen Podcasts Network. On the show, I chat with authors whose books I have enjoyed about their new releases, and I give you a peek behind the curtain of the publishing industry with my Behind the Scenes series. With so many books coming out weekly, it can be hard to decide what to read, so I find the best ones and share them with you. If you're looking for a community of readers, bonus content, and a chance to read books before they hit the shelves, I hope you'll consider joining my Patreon group, which is filled with a wonderful bunch of book lovers. The link to join is in the show notes. Today, I am chatting with Jessie Q. Sitanto about The Good, the Bad, and the Aunties. I have been a fan of Jessie's for a while and am thrilled to pieces that she's coming on my show. Jessie grew up shuttling back and forth between Jakarta and Singapore and sees both cities as her homes. She has a master's degree from Oxford University, and she is currently living back in Jakarta on the same street as her parents. When she's not tearing out her hair over her latest work in progress, she spends her time baking and being a mom to her two kids. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like, how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!
Welcome, Jessie. How are you today?
Really good. How are you?
I am also really good because I am a huge fan of yours and I'm thrilled to pieces that you're finally on my show. I know it makes me so happy.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I have loved all of your books that I have read and this was a fun addition and I can't wait to talk about it. But I thought before we start diving into The Good, the Bad, and the Aunties that you might quickly go back a little bit and just give me a synopsis of all three books in a nutshell and then we can talk about this book. Does that sound good?
Yeah. So The Good, the Bad, and the Aunties. That's the third and final book in the Aunties series. And the first book is Dial A for Aunties. And it's about a young woman who accidentally kills her blind date, as you do. And then she has to get the help of her very meddlesome mother and aunt to get rid of the dead body. And of course, you know, there's like a romance in it and it's really lighthearted, I promise. And in the second book, which is Four Aunties and a Wedding, our main character, Mehdi, she is getting married. But, you know, of course, things do not go to plan, especially when they have hired what turns out to be a mafia family to cater to her wedding. And it takes place in Oxford, England. Which is where I met my husband. So it was really fun to like kind of get to dip back into the Oxford setting. And it's just chaotic as always. So in the third and final book, The Good, the Bad, and the Aunties, Mehdi and Nathan, her love interest, they're visiting Jakarta, Indonesia, which is where I currently live. And they're here in time for Chinese New Year, which is like the biggest celebration of the year for the Chinese ethnic group in Indonesia and probably all over the world. And it is like a really fun, very, very chaotic time. And what we do during Chinese New Year is give out red packets that's got money in it. And of course, in one of these red packets, it turns out to be like a really important document. And Mehdi and Nathan get tied up in the confusion of, you know, giving out the red packets. And then mafia is involved again. And a little bit of light kidnapping. And as always, the aunties are there to save the day or maybe make it a little bit worse, depending.
That's what I was just going to say. They come in to try to save the day, but sometimes then things get a little bit worse before they save the day.
Yeah.
Well, how did you come up with the idea for this one?
So I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's not Chinese, and I was telling her about Chinese New Year. And she was like, oh my God, you know, wouldn't it be funny if in one of the red packets was like an important document, and then, you know, you've given it out to all of your nieces and nephews, and then you kind of have to go around being like, oh God, let me check your red packet bag. And that was honestly how like I got the idea for this book.
And you just went from there with it?
Yeah.
So when you wrote Dial A for Aunties, did you ever envision that there would be more than one book?
No, I didn't, because by the time I wrote Dial A for Aunties, that's it was my 9th book. And I've had so many books, you know, that I queried and just didn't get any offers. And so like the sage advice is to, once you've written, you know, you finish a book, like cut off all emotions, you know, and move on to the next new project, because like that book will likely not get published. And so I never like to think, oh, this one is going to have lots and lots of sequels or whatever. You know, I kind of just want to be like, okay, I'm done with this book. I'm going to move on to a completely different book now, to kind of control that like disappointment and hurt and whatever. So it was a really nice surprise.
Well, that's a very valid point. And I bet it was a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. I would just think, as you're writing, you might think, okay, I've got this book in me. I'm going to get it out there. We'll see what happens. But never expecting this wonderful response and people loving it so much that they're like, bring back the aunties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And you decided this was the last. Why is that?
Well, okay, so it was so difficult, like writing the second book, Four Aunties and a Wedding. Like I read somewhere, someone described writing sequels as, so writing the first book is like, you're building this beautiful, lovely sandbox with all the toys and all the tools that you get to play with. And then writing the sequel, you realize that you are trapped in the sandbox and nobody can hear you scream. And I found that to be so true. Like the second book was so hard to write. And then the third book was even harder than the second book. And I was just like, I don't know, like what else these women can get into, you know, like how many crime related things are they going to be attached to before they land in prison?
Well, and that's a valid point. You know, people always talk about Murder, She Wrote and how so many crimes occurred in this tiny little town for her to solve, Angela Lansbury, you know? Mm-hmm. So yes, it's the same idea. I suppose the aunties can only encounter so many crimes, as you said, before they're in prison or before it's just outside the realm of any possibility.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, are any of the characters modeled on any particular person?
So I always say, you know, they're kind of like modeled after my parents and their brothers and sisters. But I like scrambled up their personalities enough that like even my mom was like, wait, but Big Aunt isn't actually like this. And I was like, no, because it actually, you know, Big Aunt's character is actually like this other person in our family. And then my mom was like, oh my God, it so is. And like Maddie's mom is actually, she's actually modeled after my dad. Because my mom was like, I'm not like that. And I was like, yeah, no, it's actually dad. And then my mom was, oh my God, he is so, you know, Maddie's mom.
Okay, that's hilarious. So then they're all trying to figure out which character is them.
Yes.
Well, what was the highlight of writing this one?
The highlight of writing The Good, the Bad, and the Aunties is it has to be the Chinese New Year celebrations, because I really love like sharing, you know, parts of my culture with the rest of the world. I got to do that a little bit in Dial A for Aunties and then Four Aunties and a Wedding. I feel like I'm really getting to do it with The Good, the Bad, and the Aunties, because it's set in Indonesia and there are just so many things that I think, well, I hope like people would find interesting. And, you know, I always welcome like questions from readers if they're not familiar with an aspect of it. So that's the highlight.
Well, I love the way the publisher described your books. They said it's a mashup of humor and mystery and then all of this cultural information for a lot of people who don't know it. And that's what I love so much about them, is I feel like I'm learning all this interesting stuff, but I'm also laughing hysterically and then enjoying the mystery that's usually included.
Oh, thank you. That really means a lot.
Well, and that leads me to my next question, because your books are so darn funny, and that is one of my very favorite parts of them. Are you funny in real life?
Well, I like to think that I am. My husband did say, like, he, you know, one of the reasons he fell in love with me was because I'm funny. But I feel like my 8-year-old really, really disagrees. And I'm really dreading, like, her teenage years, you know. I mean, the 5-year-old still thinks I'm hilarious, but I'm sure that within, like, 2 years, she's going to be like, oh, God, just, like, stop talking.
I was just going to say wait, because I have two in their 20s and one that is still a teen. And, yeah, they just roll their eyes. I am not at all funny to them, though I'm not really a funny person. But even when I try to be, they're like, Mom.
Yeah.
So, yes. But I just think your humor comes through. And I'm like, she must be really funny in person. And then is that hard for you to get onto the page, the humor? Or is that the part that comes easiest for you?
Oh, my God. It is so hard. So I started out actually writing suspense, like darker manuscripts. And I always kind of thought like, oh, you know, the lighthearted stuff is really easy. It wasn't until I started writing Dial A for Aunties that, oh my God, I found myself second guessing everything, you know, like, oh, is this funny or is it only funny in my head? And then, you know, it kind of loses its humor when I get it down on paper. Like, I felt so insecure. I felt so like, what is even humor? You know, like, it was really like surprisingly hard. And I would say, it was kind of a relief for me to go back to writing darker suspense because I was like, oh, I know how to do this. I don't know how to do the lighthearted stuff.
Well, and another author told me that the issue with jokes is they're funny the first time. They're kind of funny the second time. But by the third, the fourth, the fifth, I mean, as you're continuing to read your manuscript, you're like, this is not funny. So it's hard to judge that because you have to go over it again and again and again.
Yeah, exactly. And also like the source of the humor, it's like, oh, how many times can I, you know, use this aspect of the character as like a funny thing, you know, before it then becomes like tiring.
Yes. Mind some particular tidbit. You have to kind of walk the line between, okay, I've used it just enough or I've used it too much that it's getting annoying.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So you talk a little bit about writing darker books. I know that you have written YA and middle grade, and then you've written these books. What is your favorite to write and how do they differ?
So I think YA is the hardest to write because to me, like maybe because it's been so long since I've been a teenager and my kids are not teenagers yet. So I feel very out of touch with teenagers. And so to me, like that was the hardest one to write. I really loved writing middle grade because it's so energetic and it's so fun. And to me, the humor is a little bit more natural with middle grade, but my middle grade books did not do well. So maybe, you know, maybe I'm like, oh yeah, it's easy. But then actually it turns out it's not. And then I would put like the adult books as like the second, you know, kind of like that happy medium of like, okay, you know, this is challenging in a lot of ways, but it's not so challenging that I'm no longer like having fun writing it.
That makes sense. And I'll tell you, my very favorite book of yours is Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers. I tell everyone I know to read it. It was one of my top reads of last year. And I'm always telling people, you have to read this book.
Oh, thank you.
And they always come back and tell me, that book was so good. Is there going to be another one of those ever?
Yes, there is. I'm so excited about it. So Vera Wang, she was, my God, what a surprise, like, that whole thing was. And, you know, she's like, I say she, I can't even bring myself to like, be like, it. But she is doing even better than the aunties. So completely unexpected. And yeah, we are going to get a sequel. I have finished writing it. I just need to edit it and then send it to my editor. So that should be, I want to get it done, you know, by the end of this month.
Well, that makes me so happy because I love all of your books that I have read, as I said, but I particularly love that one. And I've sent it and given it and told people to read it. And I just think it is wonderful. So I'm thrilled to pieces that there's going to be a sequel.
Oh, thank you.
That's great. And then there's another book in the back of my galley. And that's different than the Vera Wang sequel, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what's that?
Yes. So that's my suspense, my adult suspense. It is darker than Vera Wang and the Aunties. It's about two momfluencers. I am so obsessed with momfluencers and, you know, about like jealousy and toxic female friendships and kind of like, you know, the influencer culture and keeping up appearances when you are an influencer.
Are you just the fastest writer?
Like, I have no chill. So, so I do like to write. I tend to write 3 books a year. That's kind of my happy speed. At one point, I was trying to write 4 books a year, but I was like, okay, no, that's like way too much. So, yeah, I mean, each book takes me about 5 weeks to write. I actually have a series on my Instagram called Write a Book with Me in 5 Weeks, where I upload like a reel every day when I'm writing to kind of talk about the journey and the process and give people advice and tips on how to do that if they want to.
Okay, that's fascinating. Well, first of all, I'm impressed that you can write that fast and generate this many books that are really good. I mean, you know, I can see where somebody could sit down and just write, but the fact that they're so good. But my daughter definitely is trying to write. So I need to direct her to your Instagram and let her see some of that, because I think she would really enjoy it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the reasons, like the main reason why I started writing so fast is because I felt so insecure about my writing. And I realized like, oh, like if I write slow, my insecurities would kind of catch up with me. And then it would, you know, take over the project with like the intrusive voices like telling me, you know, oh, this is so crap. This is so bad. You need to quit. You know, the story doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. But I found out that like, oh, when I write really fast, then I don't actually give that voice enough time to take root. And that's why I started doing that.
I like that. I love that you were able to realize what was happening and find a way to prevent it.
Yeah.
And then I also understand that a screen adaptation is in the works for the Aunties. Is that right?
Yeah. So the Aunties series, they were picked up by Netflix. And I'm just really excitedly waiting for the screenwriter to finish her adaptation so I can read it and be like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I think these will be so fun on the screen. I just can't wait.
I think so. Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, tell me about the title and the cover. Obviously, the covers go together with the 3 Aunties books, but do you have any say in them? Have they shown you them and you're like, these are great? How has all that worked for you?
Oh my God. So with Dial A for Aunties, they sent me the cover and I was like, wow, it's gorgeous, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, oh, but can I have my name in like a cursive font? And they were so nice. They were like, sure. And then they went back, they edited, and they sent the new cover to me. And I was like, wow, this is so crap. Why did you listen to me? I'm not a cover designer. Please ignore everything I say.
Okay, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and I just feel like, oh my God, the poor cover designer, you know, she must have been like, oh God, this person is so painful for her to like make that change, but they did it, you know? So I was very, very grateful. And I was like, okay, from here on out, ignore me.
No matter what I tell you, ignore me.
Yeah. But it's just been a joy because I have had friends who hated their covers. So like, thank God I have loved like every cover so far. Even like with the suspense cover, you know, like I usually really don't like suspense novel covers because I find them really boring. And I told them like, you know what? I know nothing about suspense covers, so do whatever you want. But the one that they came up with, I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
I agree with you on suspense covers because so many of them look almost exactly alike. Like you could hold up 10 of them and just see how similar they all are.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's great that you have liked yours. And what about the titles? Do you come up with them? Do they help you come up with them? How has that worked?
So a friend of mine came up with the title Dial A for Aunties. And then after that, my editor has come up with Four Aunties and a Wedding and The Good, the Bad, and the Aunties. And they're so great, you know, like when she came up with the second one, we just, like my agent and I just laughed and laughed. And we were like, my God, like, this is it. This is so good. And so for the third book, she was like, do you have a title? And I was like, no, I was kind of waiting for you to come up with a title. And my poor editor, she was like, okay, I'll come back with a title. And she did. And I was like, see, I was right not to like even try to think of a title.
They're so much fun, all three of them. Yeah. Well, Jesse, before we wrap up, what have you read recently that you really liked?
So I keep yammering about this on social media, but my friend, Lori Elizabeth Flynn, has a book coming out in August, and it's called Till Death Do Us Part. And if I didn't love Lori so much, I would really hate her because her writing is so gorgeous. And every time I read like anything of hers, I'm just like, my God, this is so beautiful. And of course, you know, the book is full of like twists and surprises, and it's all wrapped up in this gorgeous writing. So highly recommend that.
Okay, good. I haven't heard of that one. That's one of the reasons I love to ask this question, because I feel like I add to my list every time.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I'm sure I will. And this has been delightful, Jesse. Like I said, I have loved your books for a while, and I'm thrilled that we're finally getting to chat. Thanks for taking the time to come on the Thoughts from a Page podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I would love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook, where you can find me at Thoughts from a Page. If you enjoy the show, please consider joining my Patreon group to access bonus content and support the podcast. If you have a moment to rate the show or subscribe to it wherever you listen to your podcasts, I would really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. And please tell all of your friends about Thoughts from a Page. Word of mouth does wonders to help the show grow. The book discussed in this episode can be purchased at my bookshop storefront, and the link is in the show notes. I hope you'll tune in next time.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.